One. Guys, welcome back to the Perpetua Podcast. It's James Rankin here joining you again. And today I've got my old pal, Louis Pearson. How's it going, man?
All is good with me, James. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really good, man. Thanks very much. For those who don't know, then give us a quick elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you do?
Like you said, my name's Louis Pearson. I'm 26. I am based out of Portadown in Northern Ireland. I would be known in the CrossFit space for starting Ollie Clothing, which is a training and lifestyle brand. We launched into CrossFit, and now we've kind of taken a step back, and we're targeting that training and lifestyle space. You might have seen me at other CrossFit comps, or you might see me chatting shit at CrossFit comps on the stall. So I'm a semi-average CrossFitter, and yeah, mate, I think that's probably the best intro.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. So I think we should just put out an apology straight away for anyone who can't understand this. If you're not from Northern Ireland, then we both get a bit thick with our accents here. It might be a bit of a struggle, but we'll get into some good stuff here, man, because we kind of have a few bits in common, like with regards to our training and philosophy around lifestyle and all that sort of stuff. And I myself am also an average competitive athlete, so be good to get into that. So first thing I wanted to chat to you about, man, because we've never really spoke about it, is why a clothing brand? What did you see? What did you want to do with it? What's the goals? Hit me with the whole story.
Good question, mate. I guess it's probably best just to start with the story of it in general. I mean,
yeah.
It was kind of a culmination of a lot of things coming together at one time. So I was studying at University of Ulster, and I'm a health physiologist by trade. And I remember clear as day sitting in one of the classes. My lecturer was talking about the implications of sedentary lifestyle and chronic and metabolic disease. And the big crux of it was, you know, it's costing the NHS billions. It's diminishing the quality of life for individuals. You know, there's so many implications to it, but the big thing was that it's totally preventable mm-hmm. with, you know, regular exercise, balanced nutrition, and just a generally healthy lifestyle. So being a 20-year-old, you know, wannabe entrepreneur, I was like, I'm going to be the guy to change this. I'm going to make it, you know, I'm going to change the world. So I done what everybody does, and I started a clothing brand. So the idea was essentially made to make, you know, training and lifestyle cool, to make it, yeah. you know, fun to be a part of a community whereby, you know, it encourages people to exercise. It's cool to get out and up the mountains or onto the beach or into the park or walk your dog or train. You know, we're CrossFitters by trade as well. That's our sport, and it's quite an extreme yeah. version of training. But we launched into CrossFit for a lot of reasons, because it was very symbiotic to what the brand was representing to me at the time. You know, CrossFit's very similar to our branding, in a sense that we, you know, the idea is to try and get people into sport, get people into the community of thinking that it's okay to exercise, you know, showing them that it's not go do push-pull 5 days a week and hit your macros and all that shit. Yeah. Like, it's not really that difficult. So CrossFit really aligned. Well, we aligned with CrossFit, sorry, whenever we launched. So that was kind of our entry market. And it worked really well, because CrossFit's an affluent market space as it is. The people who do CrossFit are what I would call diehard exercisers. You know, they're not out spending money on you know, other negative lifestyle things, you know, like whether it be drinking or like boozing at the weekends or eating out 7 days a week. You know, they're putting their money into whether it be supplements or ROMWOD memberships and, you know, stuff like that. So it just made sense. And then it was a market that I knew well. So it felt comfortable to launch into that. And then also, I'm a creative person by nature, and so being able to put a twist and a spin on a brand and design clothing, that's probably my two favorite things in business. So everything just kind of lined up really well, and that's kind of that was the starting point.
Savage. And how did you come up with the name? What was the reasoning behind Ollie Clothing?
Great question again. I get asked this quite a lot whenever I'm doing conversations with people, or they're asking or talking about all. It's very, very simple, and it's really not like there's no sensation to it. It was whenever my sport before CrossFit was rugby, and I was always into CrossFit training as my strength and conditioning. You know, I was always just as big into training as it was the sporting element of it. And whenever I was training with my rugby bros, we'd be in the gym, and the gym we were training at the time had two lifting platforms upstairs with the bumpers and really shitty barbells. And, you know, they'd be going down and doing buys and tries and chest bra. And I'd be like, you know, I'm going up here to ollie lift, you know, just because it was easier to say than Olympic. And then, just the more I said it, the more it just became such an easy thing to roll off the tongue. And then whenever, you know, we were setting up the brand, it was literally the first thing that came to my mind was ollie clothing. And whenever I was playing about with the branding of it, you know, the initial logos and the artwork, it was just very, very easy to brand and to make look cool. I mean, whenever we were doing all the design concepts, like I made this, like this logo on this jumper was made on Microsoft Word. Like the fonts are, like the OLY is literally Arial. The rectangle is a rectangle with no fill. The clothing is Bell MT italics. The ESP 2015 is Times New Roman. So we didn't, you know, it wasn't like this big pay a designer 250 quid to do concepts. Like I just went on.
You did it on Microsoft Word.
Literally. And, you know, sent a Word document to my friend who could vectorize an image for me. And that was it. And so like, and the circle's the exact same. It's just a circle with no fill. The barbells are literally just different shaped rectangles. And you know, I just kind of used my OCD to line up the O and the L and the Y in a way that I wanted it. And again, the fonts for clothing and EST are the exact same. So yeah.
That's unreal. Fair play, man. Did you set it up on your own, or did you have a partner from the get go?
No, I set it up on my own. I mean, to be honest, it was never really meant to get to this level. And I mean that in the from the perspective of making it like a full-time gig. It was just like, I think I tried and failed maybe three or four business ideas at university. And Ollie was like the third idea. And it stuck and it ran. And it just, the timing was good. Like, you know, we were first to market and stuff. So we said, why not? Let's go for it. And then, so I started it, it was all my VC. Like I started it with just £400, and that was it. And about, I think it was like 9 months or a year in, I got my best friend, Graham, who's still in the business, got him on board, just kind of alleviate stuff for me, and he's been my business partner ever since.
Savage. What are the two you tried before that, and what was the difference this time around then with the other two?
So the very, very first one I remember was just a gym wholesaling business. So at the time, Alibaba and mass market spaces were starting to emerge online. And so it meant that you didn't need, you know, a link with China, or you didn't need huge venture capital to start something. So I just went on to Alibaba, and I was looking at clips, and I was looking at barbells and, you know, resistance bands and the likes of that. And I was merely just going to act as a middleman between the supplier and gyms in Northern Ireland, with the idea of kind of not necessarily copying like an actual gym equipment supplier model, but being a middleman, and then maybe with the idea of branding it towards the end once I got really comfortable with the supply and the costs involved. But that was knocked on the head whenever I realized just how much venture capital it would take, you know, to get a container over with all the equipment was costing like $8,000-$9,000. And put it this way, my student loan didn't cover that. So I had to ditch that idea.
Yeah.
And then started a second company called Wadcap, which was based on like a custom apparel model, where it was essentially just kind of our custom service at the moment, only it was just hats. So kind of like, I think I maybe stole the idea of Rex Club. I don't know if you've ever, I know Graham from Londonderry, he got Rex Club caps, you know, truckers, and I was just going to do that. And it was a company called Wadcap, literally, and got the logo and the brand done, and it just kind of fizzled out. And then third was Ollie Clothing, and it it just steamrolled from the get-go, like.
Savage. And what sort of mistakes, lessons? I know you're kind of big on philosophy and that sort of stuff, like you learn from your mistakes. So you don't have to get into too much detail if you're not comfortable with it, but like, what have you done that just hasn't worked that has actually propelled you then going forward?
If anything, it's a great question. It's a difficult question to answer on the spot, to be honest. Big mistakes, man. I think, I know the biggest mistake with Ollie was not investing more straight away. If I had been able to find an early investor, even for like 25-50k, which sounds like a lot, but in the investment space it's not. We would have grown so much faster and our position in market would be totally different now. Like, to put it into perspective, we started a year after Gymshark and they are now a $1 billion business. So we launched at the time whereby brands were really, really kicking off. So if I had a bit more venture capital, like I said, I started with £400 and I've never invested a penny more. Maybe some of my student loan at the time, but we've just grown slowly off profits and bootstrapping, which is slow. But then again, you know, the dichotomy of that is I don't think I would have been ready. If someone handed me 50K, I wouldn't have had the experience to spend it correctly. I think another thing was just trying to do too many things. Trying to do too many projects, spreading yourself thin. I'm pretty sure I've got like undiagnosed ADD, so I have a really bad habit of focusing on struggling to focus on one thing or one area at a time. So I wish, you know, I'd just taken the time and done my due diligence with other projects, because who knows what I would be doing or where I would be right now if I was just able to focus on one thing. But again, there is a dichotomy to that again, whereby at least I've tested a shitload of different projects. You know, I've seen where passions lie and where passions don't lie. I've seen what I enjoy and what I don't like. And I've seen what business model work for me, given my circumstance. And so there's kind of there's always two sides to that coin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%. It's easy to say, oh, I should have done this looking back in hindsight, but then that's not really how it works whenever you're doing things. I'm pretty similar in that way. Like, I start something and then I see something else shiny that I want to do and go from there. And it probably isn't the best way. Like, you read books and you listen to podcasts and people are like, pick your thing and go for it. But you might start something, and if you're not excited by it a week later, then at least you know you're not excited by it. You spin it off and go on to the next thing. I think that's huge. Since you mentioned there that you have tried new stuff, and you kind of alluded to it before we started recording, that you have a few other things going on, like your fingers in a couple of different pies, like, what else have you got going? And are you scared of making those same mistakes, or do you think these things have a bit more to them?
Not really. I think now, James, I've learned, especially in the space that I'm in, like, I know that I'm going to be in the e-commerce space, whatever that looks like. I know I'm always going to be in sales, whatever that may look like. It's just what I like. It's you know, a dynamic situation, which I enjoy. But now that I've got Ollie to a scalable level and a manageable level, like, we spent the first 4 years just trying to refine processes, figure out how we get from A to B, figure out how to say we've got 100 orders a week or 1,000 orders a week, you know, can we still manage? So we're now at a comfortable stage where I can focus on marketing and the sales and the branding element and maybe product design, and let the rest of the team worry about customer service, like website fulfillment and things like that. So it's kind of opened up a door for me that I can, like, I'm an entrepreneur by trade, like, Ollie's not my life. Even though it used to be, it had to be, you know, I'm now looking at greener pastures for me and what I really want to do. And that's not to say that I'm walking away tomorrow, but, you know, I want to do other things. It's kind of why I chose this life. You know, other things I've been doing, I built a dropship store over Christmas. I have started an email agency. I was test running a marketing agency from September to December, and just figuring out how to do it, how to pull it together, what that business model looks like, and really just figuring out what parts of it that I like. So yeah. I knew, I was a bit of a busy fool with that, and it was tough, but I mean, we've got time to burn now. You know, I'm able to sit at home and sit on my laptop all day, and just test. And so, you know, I was doing everything from SEO to digital strategy, to writing marketing campaigns, to writing emails for people, to coming up with general brand strategy, everything. So just stuff that I've learned from having done Ollie and built all these other projects.
Yeah.
And failed, like I've failed more than most. And in that, like, you kind of learn how to do everything along the way. But so yeah, and having done that marketing agency from September to December, I realized that I love email marketing. It's one of the best cause and effect marketing models at the moment. So that's kind of what I'm putting my focus into. And then the dropship store is just very passive, you know, 2 hours a day would manage that. And yeah, so those are my two main projects outside of Ollie at the moment. And I'm just excited to kind of get them up and going.
That's cool that you're taking like a bit of a step back from that, because like my view of Ollie is, you like that you're what I think of, because I've seen you kind of come through and build it up and up and up. So that's deadly that you're trying these other things. Just with some of that stuff, like building your website and email marketing and all this sort of stuff, like have you outsourced like coaching for that, or have you literally just went, I'm going to try this and see what works, and you're signed up to other emails so you see what they do and take your own spin on it, or what's the story there?
With dropshipping, I mean, I built the dropship store in 8 hours purely because I went onto YouTube and figured out how they actually do the implementation and add, like, it's not hard. Like, I don't mean to be big-headed when I say that. It's literally go on to Shopify, pick a theme, put in the details that you want, find a product off a supplier, whether it be AliExpress or Uberlow. That all links. It all integrates very simply into the Shopify store. And then get your shipping rules, and like literally, like all of that was done in 8 hours. It was a fun project for me.
Yeah.
And now it's creating passive income. And it's funny because it's like, it just baffles me in 2021 that it's totally possible. But like, you know, I say that was easy in 8 hours, but you'll know yourself, James, it's like, that's 4 years of having built, you know, four different websites, having worked with people who have helped build our, like the guy who built our last store, he's a borderline mentor to me, and the stuff that I'm learning off him, you know, is ridiculous. And so it's all these wee things that you learn along the way, when you just show up every day and do your shit. And then with the email marketing, I mean, nobody can really teach you how to, like, email marketing is a lot about copywriting and how to write good copy and high converting copy. And if people don't know what copy is, it's literally just, if I wanted to sell you a product, there is a structure and there is a way for me to get to A to B in what I'm writing that will more than likely make you convert, you know, or increase my chances of that. So that's just come from writing thousands of Instagram posts for Ollie, hundreds of emails for Ollie, and just literally trialing and testing and seeing what's worked. So again, it's like, there have been some wee details that I've had to go on and look, and I've had to buy email courses and stuff, and Twitter or Money Twitter, if you're on it, is a really good place for that, for anybody that wants to figure it out. But like, you know, an email marketing course cost me like $150, and it gave me all the wee fine intricacies that would squeeze out every bit of percentage that I needed. And then I already had the bare bones from so much trial and error over the years for writing for Ollie, you know, doing content, writing open letters to customers, writing customer service emails, you know, for disappointed customers, all that stuff. So it's kind of the 4 years built up into it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's deadly. I love that. It's very, very true. Like, it's really, really easy now, but 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you tell yourself to sit down and do that, you'd be like, I have no idea what does copy even mean. Exactly, that's deadly. Kind of taking a left turn of this then, so like, you've got your business, you've been the face of it, like the man behind it for a long time. You're trying these other new things now. And like you said at the start, like you're a CrossFitter as well. You competed at the competitions whenever they were available.
Try to.
Yeah, man, me and you both. But how do you find the balance of that stuff where like you're trying to train with people like say PD and the guys at 80-20 and you're maybe having to get up early to start your work, and you're maybe having to stay up late and all these other things. Where do you find that balance?
Another good question. I don't know, mate. I haven't really had, if I was being brutally honest, I haven't really had a healthy balance in my life right up until maybe 6 months ago. Like the first 20 to 25 was a stressful period for me. But because...
What age are you? I'm
26 now.
Oh, yeah. You look older than 26, to be fair.
I'll take that as a compliment. But no, like it really wasn't a relaxing period for me whatsoever. I mean, I come from a competitive sport background, so I always viewed myself as a competitor. And in that, it's not really a big thing to drag your ass to training. The hardest thing is showing up and having PD and Cara and the likes hand your ass on a plate every day.
Every time.
You know, I come, you know, my background is coming from rugby and athletics, where I was quite a winning athlete. And then to go into CrossFit where you're not winning is really, really hard. So especially when they're like beating you by 2-3 minutes or lifting 20-30 kgs more than you. It is hard. But and then with business and stuff, this was my passion. I mean, in like you said about balance, I haven't really had balance because that's been the two biggest things in my life, were my training and my exercise. And I'm very social and I see my friends, and then my businesses have really taken the forefront of that as well. But in spinning those plates, a lot of other plates haven't spun that well, you know. Whether it be some relationships, personal relationships that I've had have maybe fell to the side because I've just been so laser focused on other things. My health and my wellness at times wasn't great. So like there's a lot of things that kind of were not necessarily sacrificed, because it didn't feel like that at the time, but now as I've gotten a bit older, I realize, oh shit, I need to start bringing those parts of my life back, because it just, like, you know, whether it be like, I'm big into music, I play guitar, I'm massively into that. I, you know, we used to DJ, I used to be massively into music, and that's coming back into my life again. Sports is coming back. Like, I watched The Last Dance like everyone did over lockdown, and now I think I'm going to the NBA. I bought a basketball. And, you know, so, like, you know, I just love sports in general. Like, I don't care if I'm winning or losing. I just love playing it. So, like, that's all coming back now that I'm taking a time out and really reassessing things. So, that's kind of been lockdown for me, has been a gift and a curse to kind of show me that, though. And that is, like, I would say that's the same for a lot of people.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that was huge for me too. Like, you recognize what things are really, really a priority and what things you were prioritizing that shouldn't be, and vice versa. With regards to your training then, what's your schedule been like recently? Like, what are you enjoying doing? Like you said, you bought a basketball. Like, how often are you doing that? Are you still, have you got gear at home for training, or what's your story there?
Yeah. So, I'm kind of like a bit of a scob in many ways. Like a lot of, well, not like, you know, in the second lockdown, for example, we were safe, but, you know, I'd try and meet up with PD and do a session with him, or I'd try and meet up with Cara and do a session with her. Like, I was still trying to get that competitive fix, and but there was no real structure to it, which was really nice for me, because you know, I'd spent 4 years with a pretty bad knee waiting on knee surgery. Had an SEL. I was waiting on SEL reconstruction, got it, and then I got it in March, and then done a year's rehab, which brought us to next March. And in that March, we went into lockdown the first lockdown. So my idea was to come back, and, like, you know, I was messaging Tom from the IFC, and I was like, I'm coming, I'm going to be top five, you know, fuck all these guys in the front of the games. And, you know, like, it was so fucking, I don't even know what planet I was living on. I was just hyped to be back. Like, but at the moment, to be honest, James, it's like, I've just done 5 years of busting my ass all the time. And I'm actually just really enjoying running. I'm really enjoying getting out on the bike, and I'm really enjoying not worrying about pushing the boat out and training every fucking day, which is as a competitor, that's just second nature for you to do. So like, I'm running like maybe 20-30k a week, depending on who I'm running with. Like, I've connected up with old friends, like a guy that I knew when I was younger. I know he's a great runner, he's a great athlete, and like, we just do like 15k on a Monday. And like, All we do, we just sit and talk shite for an hour and 15 minutes out running. Like, it's no stupid pace. It's not like, you know, we're not worried too much about our splits or anything like that. It's as much a social thing now. And then I am linking up with another friend to do like home gym training and stuff. And they have got a great setup. So I'm very, very lucky to have that. But I've got stuff at home as well. You know, I've been doing the odd bro sesh, and if it can't be fuck going out, you know, if I'm working late till like 8 or half 8, I'll just go in and do 10 sets of 5 or 5 sets of 10 on 5 movements, and that's it. Do you know what I mean? And then I'm making sure I play, like maybe one day a week I'll go to a field and kick a rugby ball or kick a football or play basketball with a friend. Like I've done that religiously now for the last kind of 2 months, and it's been lovely.
Good for you, man. That's deadly. I must start doing that, actually. I need to try and find a pitch close to me. What then? So you've kind of mentioned the pandemic a good bit there. So during lockdown, like what have you done differently? Like, have you changed your work schedule? Obviously, you're trying these new things. Like, has this given you the space to really push that creativity and get excited about stuff? Or how have you found it all?
Initially, to be honest, mate, I really struggled with lockdown. I'm a very, very free spirit. I like my freedom. I like being able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And to have that taken away really kind of, really, it plucked some strings in my heart that I didn't like, you know. But like everyone, you just have to get on with it, and you got to respect the health and safety of others. So that's kind of what then reignited all this love for just getting out on a bike or running and stuff. But it gave me so much more time. Like I said, I'm very social. So when I couldn't go and see my friends, it meant that I had to sit and spend a lot of time on my own, which actually showed me at times I'm not the most comfortable doing it, which kind of showed me a lot of other things. We don't need to go into it, but like, being able to spend time on your own and being able to be comfortable on your own doing things that you like doing is a really, really big part of life now for me. And I didn't realize how much I neglected that. And it's kind of linked back to, you know, what we had said earlier. I just had so much things going on that I kind of just forgot about myself. And there's no other way to put it. So it was a godsend for me as far as I'm concerned, mate. You know, first lockdown was shit, and then I kind of realized, right, if I can't spend, you know, I want to, now I'd love to be able to go traveling on my own, and I would feel totally comfortable doing it, you know, now. There's so many things I'd feel okay doing, which I really would not have been before. But I think it's given me so much more time. I was reading a lot more. I was thinking a lot more. I was able to like just become a lot more self-aware, because you had to do a lot of self introspection, as deep and cringy as that sounds, it's the truth, you know. It gave me the time to be still, gave me the time to really work on myself. And whenever you've neglected that for so long, it comes as a big surprise. You know, I think, and I would always view myself as a capable person, as someone who has good potential to do great things, but it was such a surprise whenever we stopped for a while, and I read a few books, and it exposed a lot of harsh truths for me, shall we say. And that was a surprise. It was a very uncomfortable period, not only because of the lockdown, but because of so much kind of personal change that I had went through. But like, we're at the other end of that now, and kind of I'm on top of that shit. And it now means that I'm just spending so much time really focusing on me and my future and my individuality. And that's kind of what's really made me okay with the fact that I can go and work on other projects and not need to go all in on Ollie, like, you know, really figuring out what my future looks like, you know, asking myself big questions: who do I want to be, what do I want to do, where do I want to do it? And without the lockdown time, we just wouldn't have had that, you know. I wouldn't have stopped,
you wouldn't, and I'd probably still be,
you know, I'd probably still be in the same position I was a year ago. So, you know, I see it as a godsend.
That's unreal, man. That resonates with me, because it's very, very similar. Like, it gave me the time to like what you said there, like, who am I and what do I want to do, really? And it's like, let's get that creative energy out in other forms. That is unreal to hear. And especially with you, because like, I'd be a fairly introverted person anyway, but you are very social. So for you to be able to not only slow down, but to recognize and then act upon that, I think is huge. Because a lot of like type A entrepreneur type people that I know do tend to struggle. Like they see that free time and space, and rather than sit with it, they still go and try and fill it somehow with something else. So fair play, man, that is huge. With regards to creativity and that sort of stuff, like where do you find inspiration then? Like what's your, you've mentioned reading, you do a podcast as well. Like how do you get the inspiration to go, I want to do this, I'm going to do that? Is there people you look up to or what?
Not really, James, to be honest. I mean, there is people I look up to and people who I like with design. You know, I have my favorite brands that I would love. Like, I'm like, fuck, I want to make a product as good as them. I love the functionality and the features that they have. I love the materials. I love their stitch pattern. You know, I could get a real hard on for all that shit. And then with regards to, you know, it's the truth, man. And then with regards to, like, designers, like I have designers that I really like, you know. I'm massively into minimalism, I'm massively into simplicity in design, and so like in being a designer and being a creator, it's like it's really an extension of yourself. Like what I create is like how I view something to be nice, and obviously it's totally subjective, and someone else coming on it, coming and looking at it, would be like, that's not nice. And that's the beauty of design and creation, is like it's your own thing, and the best thing is whenever that aligns with someone or that sparks something in someone. But I think, mate, like I'm just a very curious person by nature. You know, I'll see someone do some crazy shit and I'll be like, can I do that? You know, I'll be like, you know, I'll see something and I'll be like, I'll reverse engineer it in my head and try and make what they've made. Or I'll take someone's idea and try and make it better, or I'll try and copy the shit out of it. Because like everybody thinks they're coming up with the first idea, you know. No, you're not. You've seen this somewhere else. You're fucking, you know, I think it's Pablo Picasso says, it's like good artists copy and great artists steal, and that's the God's So yeah, I think curiosity is a big thing for me. Like I say, with all the projects I've started, I was never, I'm starting this to change the world, I'm starting this to be a millionaire. It's like, no, I'm starting this to see, like Ollie was, I want to make a really cool t-shirt and I want people to wear it, you know? Yeah. With all the emails, it's like, I want to see if I can creatively write so well that it incentivizes you to buy. You know, with developing all the email marketing systems behind it, I want to see if I can convert a sale because of something, or build a brand because of something. And it's cool, like in like the likes, even Ollie's, like it's, people think like a brand is sticking a logo on a t-shirt, and it is to an extent, but a brand is not, it is not like what you are, it's who you are and what you represent. Yeah. It's like anybody can go and stick a logo on a t-shirt. Think of all the brands that have come and went in the last 5 years in our market space.
Yeah.
But who's still about? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the big thing, is putting your own twist on something. So I think it's curiosity, it's my passions, it's everything kind of culminating into this one area, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I love it. That's I think that's really key for a lot of people who do want to, like, whether they want to be entrepreneurial or just do something that is kind of creative, like having that curiosity to go and question and be like, right, I see this person. Like I have podcasts and newsletters that I read and watch and that. And like, I loved your Monday Mantra newsletter. I still have some of them, see it. Like I go back and read them for a bit of inspiration and stuff. But like, if you don't read things or watch things and then go, I can do that, but I can do it better, then this isn't the marketplace for you. Like, there's a big thing these days about being entrepreneurial and working for yourself and everything. And that's grand, and Gary Vaynerchuk and inspiration and that. But people still have to work for corporations and not be entrepreneurial. So it definitely isn't for anyone. And I think the more I look into it and the more I get into it, like if you're not asking questions, it's not for you. I think that's 100% the key.
And even on that point, mate, if I can just give my 5 cents, it's like, you know, I talk about this, and there's maybe going to be some listeners that are like, you know, they're working in a corporate or they're working in, and like, there's not, like, I'm not against that idea. And I know hopefully what I've said doesn't come across like that, but there is some people that they love, like my business partner, Graham, is not entrepreneurial at all. which is ironic.
Yeah.
But what he is damn good at is he will put a website order together better than anyone I know, because in his head, to get from A to B, he likes it done in certain steps, in certain phases, in certain ways. And it's perfection for him every single time. And that's why he's damn good at doing website fulfillment. You know, we have an incredibly high standard service, handwritten slips, and like everything's folded perfectly. And that's him. Like, that's nothing to do with me. And then with customer service emails, like, people will be like, oh, I didn't get my order. And he will send them a fucking stupidly long email to explain why, that we're sorry, that we're doing everything we can. And but that's like, you know, people have traits and characteristics in them that really could nail a problem that people have. And a lot of people, you know, miss that and think that, oh, they're doing these big projects and I'm not, and I don't have it in me. What's wrong with me? Yeah. It's just like, if it's not in you, it's not in you, and that's not a problem.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
You could go and work in a 9-to-5 and still make the world a better place by what you're doing. You could be a great manager. You could be a great customer service rep. You could be the best person at sacking people. You know, like, there is literally people who are good at HR. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, it was something that I could really not tolerate at the start, believe it or not. I was talking to my friend about this. If someone wasn't, like, I was 21, 22, real ignorant. And if someone wasn't doing these big projects, I was like, oh, you're such a fucking waster. Why are you not going out trying to change the world? And like,
oh, you know, man, that was me. 100%. That was me.
Yeah. And it's like, that's not for everyone. And it took me a lot. It actually took, like, you know, it's funny. It took my grandparents, my granny's one of my biggest confidants in life. Like, and she just hit me with a straight. She's like, so not everybody wants to go and change the world and do these big things. Some people are about their family. Some people are about serving their friends. Some people are about serving their community. And see, when she hit me with that, I was like, holy shit, like, get you a TED Talk, Granny. We need this.
That's deadly, man. I think you're spot on. I was the exact same. I used to think, unless you were trying to, if you weren't trying to work for yourself, you were killing time. And it's like that whole hustle porn of working 80 hours a week and everything's great, but it's definitely not for everyone. Something you touched on there, and I just want to compliment you on it. Like, I got my Ollie clothing order this week. This will be in like 4 weeks ago by the time this comes out, but like the handwritten notes and the extra little things and the way it's folded and everything is something that you almost wouldn't take note of until you order from Amazon or something, and then it just comes in this shitty brown box with paper stuffed into it and it looks like crap. And then you go, because I got an Amazon order the same day I got the Ollie clothing order from you, and I got the note and the patch and the headband and the tank top, and I was like, this is lovely. And like, you wrote a note and you complimented the podcast and like just little things, and I was like, this is why I got my tank top from you and not from Mike. Just little things like awesome. That. So I just wanted to compliment you on that, man. Something else I wanted to pull you on was, you have a slogan with your brand, and it's quite philosophical, and I love it, and we've spoken about it before. Small victories repeated daily.
Preach.
I love it. Where'd it come from?
It's funny, mate. I've got it tattooed on the inside of my arm.
Have you? Really,
yeah, bro. Sort of. Like, it's literally on the inside of my arm. I've got it tattooed on me. It really came, James, like, in the early days. You know, I'm a big believer that there are very little to no absolutes on earth. There's not one defining rule. There's not one kind of paraphrase or fucking quote that you can follow that is going to be true in every single scenario of life. But one thing I learned the hard way was in building all these businesses and projects and feeling a fuck ton was, no matter what the fuck you're doing, if you just show up every day, like, it's just a cumulative effect. It's just compound interest. It's just if you do, it comes from the phrase, success is the sum of small victories repeated on a daily basis. And I just took it and shortened it to four words. And I just had it written in our warehouse. I literally drew it on the wall, and it said, small victories repeated daily. And it just kind of stuck and it rhymed. And then, mate, after having sat and looked at it for a year, I was like, I want to make this like my my life motto almost. Like, no matter what you're doing, whether it be parenting, not that I have an experience, whether it be training or exercise or building a business or doing something or doing a project, like, it's going to suck at times. It's not rainbows and butterflies all the time. So no matter what, if you can just show up every day and do a wee tiny bit, like, that's it's better than doing nothing, you know?
100%.
Doing 5 days a week at 60% is better than doing 2 days at 120, you know? Like, just doing that wee bit, consistency. And there's so many things you derive from it. Like, it gets you into the habit of showing up every day, no matter what the circumstances. It gets you into the habit of thinking and realizing and understanding that you cannot build Rome in one day. You cannot build these big things overnight. Yeah. There's no such thing as an overnight success, and that comes from just showing up every day and doing your work and committing to it and persevering. And that's kind of where it came from. And now we've just made it the company motto maybe 2 years ago. And, you know, it already was my life motto, and I've had it tattooed on my arm for the guts of 3 years, two and a half years now. And I love it, mate. And it's one thing I've never regretted. And I do get, like, my grandparents were like, well, I hid it from them for the first year. No, I had no issue because, you know, they were disappointed when they seen I'd got a tattoo. But I had no issue just standing by what it meant and why I put it on. And yeah, I've never regretted it, mate.
Savage, man. I love that. I'm huge in that. That's something I preach to my clients. Like, there was a post I put up a few months ago that you commented on being like, sounds very similar to small victories repeated daily. And I've kind of taken that and I use it with my clients a lot, and I use different spins on it all the time, but that's 100% how I think. Yeah, like you said, like, training, nutrition, all these things, it doesn't really matter what you do so long as you do that little bit every single day. So like for me and my business, it's like, get, or for my clients, it's like, eat your vegetables every single day, and then once you get into the habit of that, let's add on some new ones, and let's do this and this and this and this and this, and it does compound. You're so right, it just takes that little step every time to see where the magic happens. Bro, that was deadly. I'd love to just finish on that, and I think that's what we're going to call the podcast, just small victories repeated daily. If people haven't picked up on it already, like, where can they find you and your company on the interwebs?
So we have our Instagram, which is just Ollie Clothing, our Facebook. We're not really active on Facebook. We kind of just use it for digital ads and paid ads. We have a YouTube channel, which I'd love everybody to go on to, because we have a lot of content on there, about 40 or so videos. And then, our website's www.ollieclothing.com. Do you know what we could probably do, bro? We could make a wee discount code for any listeners, just as like a thank you for...
Yeah, you know, let's get that going. We'll organize that after this, and I'll put it in the notes.
Then, personally, if you want to listen to my bullshit, I don't really post on Instagram as much anymore, but I do have Twitter now, which is just Lewis W. Pearson, and you'll just see me ranting like fuck on it, you know.
I must follow you then.
Yeah, man, you know, it's everything I learn, I kind of put up on Twitter, like, you know. But an example could be like this, our Black Friday campaign. I just broke it down, what it looked like, traffic, revenue, our strategy. And it just, like, it's, if you're in the e-commerce space, or that's something that you were interested in, go on there, and there's an incredible community of people there. So yeah, those are probably the best places to find me.
Deadly, man. I love it. Thanks for Mill for coming on and having a chat here. We'll get back whenever you start pushing these other things a little bit more, and we can see like how you've progressed with that. Guys, as always, thanks to Mill for joining us. Please like, share, tell your friends, and we can try and get some more exciting people on to help you. Thank you.